What's up, everybody? Welcome into another episode of CUSA Insider, the official podcast of Conference USA. If you're enjoying the podcast so far, don't forget to like us on X and Instagram and hit that subscribe button on Apple and Spotify so you never miss an episode. All right, let's get right to it. We're going to do a little overview of the current happenings around the league this week, and then stick around for our interview portion of the show as we got a chance to catch up with Jacksonville State head coach Rich Rodriguez on his bye week. I've got a co-host with me today. Everybody meet Eric Jones, our assistant director of communications. Eric covers volleyball, women's basketball, men's tennis, and baseball for Conference USA. And today he's going to give us some insight into the upcoming volleyball championship. What's up, Eric?
How's it going, Sarah? Really excited to be here today and talk some sports.
Yeah, me too. I don't know about you, but I'm feeling a little sore today because last night we got to compete against each other in our CUSA official CUSA pickleball tournament, the first of its kind. Congratulations to our associate director of sports service, Emily Costello, and her fiance Mason on winning the whole thing. But enough about our CUSA staff pickleball tournament. We got a real league champion that was crowned a few weeks ago in women's soccer. So congratulations to the Liberty Flames on their first CUSA championship. Our very own Josh Jonas had a chance to catch up with head coach Lang Wedemeyer and senior midfielder Rachel DeRuby.
So going back to August, you guys were voted the preseason favorites. You had four returning all-region players, including yourself, Rachel. So just talk to me about some of the expectations going into this season.
Well, I'll start. I mean, I think that certainly we lost a couple key players like McKinley Burkett, who now is on our coaching staff. So that was great. But we were returning a lot of not just quality players, but quality people, quality leaders like Rachel, Lena, Sadie, Bridie. So we felt pretty good about, you know, the season that we were capable of having. And I think the nice things we talk about expectations is we've gotten to a place within the program that we don't just want to win championships. I think we have an expectation that we can be in contention for a championship, regular season or tournament each season.
Yeah, kind of going off of that, I would say being a senior this year, just the past couple of years we've had, it's kind of been building towards the continued success of our team and just the confidence in what we know we're capable of doing. And like Coach said, not just a want, but like we know that we are capable of doing that. And it's not like a far-fetched idea for us to win the championship and go into the NCAA.
Coach, you talk about that winning culture that you've been implementing, and just talk to me about, you know, how you've been able to do that. What are some of your key principles and, you know, what you took from South Dakota State?
I think that one of the biggest culture shifters that I had to try to either recruit for and or develop through the team through the early years, and we're reaping the benefits of that now, was just creating a more gritty kind of team that is will persevere and kind of fight for each other and, you know, not back down and go toe-to-toe with whomever we step on the field with. And I've been so pleased with those results from our players. Again, some of it's been through recruiting, some of it's been through culture development, and that combination has really helped us. And I would say the second thing that's been a huge key for our success is this also part of the culture of accountability. And again, I give players like Rachel a lot of credit for that, that, you know, it really started last year where we could do a film session post-game and say, okay, you know, Lena, you didn't do this well. Bridie, you didn't do this well. Rachel, this has to be better. And they would say, yes, I own that mistake. And they would go and practice and work that much harder to make it better. And, you know, that culture of accountability was something that was fairly new, because most of the time in those film sessions, people want to hide and they just pray that they don't get called out in front of their teammates. But our players were owning it. And it's totally changed that how we can grow and learn, because they're so willing to accept, you know, we're not vilifying them for the mistakes, but they're owning them and they're growing from them.
You guys stormed out to 11-0 record to begin the year. Talk to me about, you know, Rachel, especially what was going well for the team. How did you guys battle that, you know, the complacency throughout those games?
I would say just the culture, it was like, as we just touched upon, like it is a big factor in those games, and kind of like working through those tough moments, it just helps to know that you can fall back on each other and know that it's an unconditional love that we have for each other. And it's not based on your success or your failure. And so just knowing that no matter the result at the end of every game, like, you're going to be there for each other, and just kind of encouraging each other in like a positive way, but also a constructive way. And it's not fake. It's not great job, no matter what, but it's also like, we know what you're capable of, like, let's make it better kind of thing. So
when that undefeated run came to an end, you know, and then you had the tie with FIU, Coach, what did you say to the team in that moment to, you know, really kind of light the fire again to be able to close the year the way you did?
Winning is hard. And certainly we've had our fair share of success, but it's difficult. And you know, New Mexico State, a good team. We lost to Western Kentucky, another good team, tied Florida International. They were playing really well at the time. You know, the conference is tough. You can't take anybody for granted. And you've got to play each game as if it's kind of that game that's going to get you into the conference tournament. And that's really kind of what we looked at is, you know, we take each game as it is, but we need to get enough wins to make sure we're in the tournament. Once we secured that, then it was like, okay, let's fight for, you know, trying to get as high a seed as we can, first or second, if we had possible. But really the message to the team was, you know, that this was going to kind of show who we really were. You know, were we a team that can just kind of ride, or if when we face some adversity, were we going to be able to rise up? And so I was really glad to see how the girls kind of came out of it and got back their enthusiasm and just kind of the joy of playing again. And that was great leading into the tournament.
You guys ultimately got that bye, got to play Louisiana Tech in that first game. Rachel had, you know, certainly one of the greatest games of your career, and definitely, you know, one to go down in the record book at the Conference USA tournament. You know, talk to me about that performance. You know, what kind of confidence did you take away from that, or did you go in with?
We were definitely going into this tournament really confident, and it's kind of one of those things, like, the tournament play postseason, it's what you've been working for all season. So just all those hard practices, all those like early mornings, it all leads up to that. And like I said earlier, like, you're doing it for each other. So just being able to put it all out there and not hold anything back, it really means a lot. And like, everybody's giving for each other. So it's just really special to be able to give back to what everybody's been working so hard for. So.
And then going into that championship game, getting a chance to avenge that loss to New Mexico State, you know, what was the, you know, the vibes in the locker room, you know, with the team going into that game, you know, how hungry were you for that win?
Yeah, so that was definitely a motivator for us. Obviously, a loss is hard, but you can't take back the past. It's all how you respond to it. So we definitely wanted to look at that in a healthy way and kind of shift our mindset to like, okay, well, this didn't work before, so what can we do this time to make it better? And so winning that championship was definitely a sweet moment.
And then talk to me about that last play, you know, towards the end there, you know, finding Sadie for the header. You know, is that someone you work with a lot on those corner attempts, or, you know, what was the, you know, what went into that play?
Yeah. So it was like a copy and paste of the same play from the goal before in the semifinal game. And so I just knew, I was like, you know what, like, if I can get this ball into Sadie, I know she knows what she's got to do, and I know she can get it in the back goal. And like, obviously she's proved that throughout the season. So it was just kind of like, aim for Sadie and I know she'll do the rest. And I had complete confidence in her as she did in me. And so, yeah, it was just amazing that it actually played through.
For both of you, that championship moment, you know, when the horn sounds, you guys get to hoist that trophy. With what this season has been like in a new conference, you know, a bunch of new opponents, how special was that moment?
It was definitely obviously a very special moment. Coach Lang has been telling us like all season that he knew we were capable of being a championship team. And it's not that we doubted ourselves either, but like, just kind of getting that one moment to really prove, you know what, like, we're not kidding ourselves. Like, this isn't all in our head. Like, God's got our backs, kind of like a plan for us. It's just really special to see that kind of come into fruition and not just be like something we're always striving for, but actually get that moment and be like, you know what, like, it actually did happen. So.
Yeah. Just to echo what Rachel said, I think that, you know, that this is an amazing group of young women, and I'm really blessed to be able to coach them. We try, you know, again, at Liberty, we profess to kind of play for a different purpose, for a higher cause, for an audience of one. And, you know, the girls buy into that. And it's hard because the culture of the world is always telling them, no, this, there's a different definition of success. We want that success too, but we want to do it in the right way. And we want, and we realize that sometimes, you know, one of the greatest things that can happen is if we are blessed with a certain platform, and then, you know, then our integrity can show.
If each of you had to sum up this season in one word, what would that be?
For me, it would be joyful. Just because, you know, again, it's so fun to be around these girls. You know, they really care a lot about each other. They have a lot of fun. There's a lot of laughter. There's a lot of dancing. There's a lot of singing. You know, we do a lot of team bonding stuff. And so it's just fun to be around them. You know, it's kind of an extended family. And, so to get those wins, to get a championship, it's like the icing on the cake.
Yeah, I would kind of go along with that and just say a blessing. Honestly, it's nothing short of that. Like Coach Lang said, like it's fun day in and day out. And it's like all that hard work doesn't feel like hard work when you're doing it. It feels like it's a privilege and I should be grateful for that. And it's so easy to be grateful because you know that everybody there is pulling for you. Everybody wants to see you succeed. And even when you don't, they're still going to see, like, be there to pick you up. So it's honestly just been nothing but a privilege.
That's great. Well, thank you guys both again.
Special thanks to Coach Lang Wedemeyer and Rachel for taking some time to talk to us. I think it's pretty cool that the matchup in our women's soccer championship was New Mexico State versus Liberty. And we've got the exact same matchup coming up in a few weeks with our football championship.
Yeah, that's right. The Aggies clinched their spot in the championship game this past weekend, defeating WKU 38-29. The Aggies are headed to the CUSA championship in their first year in the league, and Coach Kill has led the New Mexico State program to 8 wins for the first time since 1965.
Yeah, Coach Kill has really done a great job in turning that team around, but they've definitely got a tough opponent in the Flames to try and beat out to take home that hardware. Liberty is still undefeated, 10-0, one of just 7 teams in the nation who still have a 0 in the loss column. They're the only G5 team who remains undefeated. All of their 10 wins have come versus FBS opponents, and they're ranked 16th nationally in strength of schedule, according to ESPN, which is first among postseason eligible G5 teams.
Yeah, they're absolutely one of the best, if not the best, G5 team in the country, and can't wait to watch them battle it out with the Aggies once again for the league title on Friday, December 1st on CBS Sports Network.
You and I will both be there in Lynchburg. It's going to be a good time. Well, let's flip the page and do a little basketball talk. So college basketball season is here, everyone. It is finally here. The season is young, but we've already got some front runners and storylines emerging within Conference USA.
Yeah, it's been a wild start to the season so far with 1 week down. I'm going to go look over a few men's notes. Preseason favorite, Liberty, is off to a 2-0 start, including a commanding victory over defending CBI champion Charlotte. And Kyle Rode claimed the season's first Player of the Week honor after averaging 16 points per game on 60% shooting from three-point land. UTEP, who is 3-0, ranks among the top 5 nationally in scoring, field goal percentage, assists per game, bench points per game, and fast break points, while the Miners' defense ranks among top 5 in steals per game, turnovers forced per game, and turnover margin.
And they had a SportsCenter top play this week, everyone, that came in at number 5. Go check it out. It's on our Twitter.
CUSA owns the best combined free throw percentage of all Division I conferences at 73.72%, having knocked down 331 out of 449 attempts. Jack State leads the way and ranks 7th nationally with an 86.9% clip at the charity stripe.
Yeah, I mean, we've really got some good storylines in men's basketball this season for sure. But women's hoops, not to be left out. We've got some real, real good teams in the league this year.
Right. And I really liked what I saw this week out of a bunch of our squads. CUSA women's basketball off to a hot start with a combined 15-7 record. Begin the new campaign. A team that's kind of been fun to watch for me so far is Jessica Burks-Wiley's group down at FIU. They rank top 5 nationally in several rebounding categories, including first in rebounds per game, with an impressive 63.5. WKU, who is 3-0, also off to a good start under head coach Greg Collins, who rallied the Toppers to the CUSA title game just a season ago. True freshman Caitlin Staley has been a force on defense. The 6'3 forward ranks 5th nationally in blocks with 8-3 contests. look out for this scrappy WKU team down the road this year. And despite a loss for each Middle Tennessee and Liberty in the first week of action, these two teams face a rigorous non-conference schedule that I'm really looking forward to watching and will set them up nicely for league play.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be an exciting year in women's hoops. And don't forget, you can visit our website to see all of the schedules for our men's and women's basketball program so you don't miss a minute of the action. All right, here we go. Getting to the main point of our current events here today. The moment you've patiently been waiting for, we are playing a conference volleyball tournament and the 2023 champion will be crowned this weekend. Can you give our listeners a little preview of the upcoming championship?
Yeah, 100%. It's actually my first year covering volleyball for the league. Really looking forward to a great weekend of volleyball up in Lynchburg and my first time traveling to Liberty University. We had a wild final weekend of matches with a couple of tiebreaker scenarios and La Tech actually sweeping their way into the tournament. WKU is once again the regular season champion of the league, their ninth regular season title since joining CUSA. 74 straight regular season conference wins for this program. Yes, 74.
Woohoo!
Yeah, it's the longest active win streak in the nation. It's a huge testament to what Coach Travis Hudson is doing each and every year up in Bowling Green. New Mexico State, Middle Tennessee, and UTEP all finish in a three-way tie at 11-5, who I all believe have a good shot at getting hot in this tournament and making some noise down the stretch. You really never know what can happen at this point of the year.
No, you do not.
Looking forward to watching a few players out in Lynchburg. Taylor Isert with Middle Tennessee, who ranks sixth nationally in assists per set. Paige Briggs, who leads Conference USA in kills per set at 3.89. Madison Blaine of Liberty with an astounding 42.5% hitting clip on the season. Plenty of awesome talent throughout the league, and it should be a really, really exciting weekend up in Lynchburg.
Yeah, I absolutely can't wait to watch it all. You can find the tournament bracket on our website, again, at conferenceusa.com, and tune in to all of our CUSA Volleyball Championship matches this Friday through Sunday on ESPN+. All right, Eric, I'm going to go let you get back to your real job now, but thanks for joining us today.
Appreciate you having me on. Hopefully do it sometime soon down the road.
I absolutely know that you will. All right, everyone, stick around because our interview with Jacksonville State head coach Rich Rodriguez starts right now. All right, folks, it's time to move into our interview portion of the program here on CUSA Insider. And boy, do we have a good one for you today. Please join me in welcoming head coach of the 7-3 Jacksonville State Gamecocks, Rich Rodriguez. Coach, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's good to be on with you.
Yeah, absolutely. I just, you know, curious how your week has been. You know, you've been relaxing so much, I'm sure, on this bye week. How's it going?
It's been good. We hadn't had a true bye week since the beginning of September. So it's been a couple months. It gave us a chance to a little bit evaluate what we're doing, get caught up on recruiting a little bit, and then try to get a couple guys healthy as well. So it's been and the weather's been great here. It's like 75 degrees. And sunny, and so it all worked out great for us, and it came at a good time, and we finished with two big conference games, and then, you know, kind of cross our fingers and see if the bowl comes up.
Yeah, absolutely. I actually, you know, I kind of want to ask you a little bit about that. So you guys are 7-3 overall, 5-1 in conference play. And obviously we know that the NCAA has some rules about teams who move up from the FCS level to the FBS level and their postseason restrictions. But how do you keep your team motivated knowing that they aren't exactly playing for the same postseason outcomes as some of the other schools around the league and around the country?
Yeah, we actually talked about it and brought it up at the beginning of camp way back in August. And so our guys knew the deal. And then from then on, the focus was what we got to do that week. And our guys have really stayed singularly focused on that. And I think after we got to six wins and got bowl eligible, I mentioned, hey, you know, we still have to have an opportunity come open. There's got to be not enough teams. But most of the time, there's usually not enough teams to qualify. So the odds are pretty good that if we keep having success, that we may get the opportunity. But our guys, to their credit, we haven't talked about it. We haven't brought it up. We're just trying to win every game we play and trying to motivate us. What's important this week? I know it sounds like coach speak. We just want to go 1-0. Well, we don't talk about that other than what do we got to do this week to be better than we were the week before. And that's kind of been our singular focus, and it's helped us. Our guys have done that. And, you know, to be where we're at in our first year of transition is pretty neat, and I'm pretty proud of the guys so far.
Yeah, I mean, going off of that, like I said, 5-1 in conference, 7-3 overall, having a fantastic season so far in the program's first year at the FBS level. There have been 10 weeks of the football season so far, and you guys have won 2 Offensive Player of the Week awards, 4 Defensive Player of the Week awards, 3 Special Teams Player of the Week awards, and you took a South Carolina team down to the wire last week. And quite honestly, I think you've taken a lot of people by surprise around the country. So tell me a little bit about your team as a whole, the makeup, how you guys are meshing so well this year.
Yeah, you know, we didn't know, man. Honestly, you know, I thought we'd be a better football team than we were a year ago. We're obviously in transition, but we're fully ready to be a full-fledged Division 1A program and compete for conference championships or bowl games and all that. I didn't know if we would be there that soon. I mean, we're still got a lot of work to do. You know, the exciting part is that, you know, we still got a long ways that we got to get better at. You know, our facility is getting built as we speak. That should be done next summer. Our recruiting is getting ramped up a little bit. And so, you know, from a budget standpoint, we're still not where we're probably going to be or need to be. But at the same time, you know, our players believe that, hey, they can compete right away. But I didn't, you know, I'm glad we have confidence. But if I just told you that back in September, it was probably a false confidence because we hadn't done it. Now that our guys have won, and we won some really close games at the end and all that, but now that our guys, you know, really truly believe that, hey, we can play at this level, you know, we got a lot of work to do, but we're competing right away, and that's something that doesn't happen a lot when you transition up. So, like I said, we've been fortunate to win some close games and probably going to have a lot more close games the next couple of years, but, you know, I'm excited where we're at, and I'm excited where we're going to be.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's interesting for us at the conference office too, to see, you know, we had high hopes for everybody that was moving in, but the top 3 teams in the league are new to CUSA. So that's super interesting from our end. How has the transition, I guess, been into a FBS league? The differences maybe that you see last year versus this year, give us some insight into that.
I think it's like, you know, when you're I still call 1AA or FCS, you know, you have a roster, but those guys are recruited and playing at that level. And when you move up to 1A or an FBS and you have a roster 85 or whatever scholarships you have that are that level. So, you know, the depth that you have from a group of 5 to a power 5 to a 1AA is really, really different. You know, and that's what's, you know, that's what we're growing to. You know, we got okay depth, but not nearly as good a depth as we do our jobs that we'll have in the next couple of years. And we've got to do that. We've got to build that. And that's part of our job as coaches. But at the same time, our players that were on the roster, we didn't completely flip the whole roster like, you know, Colorado did. And I don't blame them for doing it. I mean, they had to do it because they were so bad the year before. But, you know, we thought we were fortunate to have what we called the 1A players, a few on the team. We've recruited some more. And as we go forward, we'll recruit even more. And so our whole roster will be filled with what we think it should be Division 1A players. And when you get that and they play at a certain, you know, we take a lot of pride in how we practice and how hard we play and all that kind of stuff. Well, we've got to keep that culture in place as we, you know, get bigger and faster and stronger.
Yeah, and you mentioned before you guys are going under a stadium remodel right now, a facility upgrade. I've seen the renderings. It looks fantastic. What are you most looking forward to with the new stadium upgrade?
Yeah, that's going to be, it's really exciting. You know, for 2 years now, it'll be 2.5 years before we actually have a real locker room and facility. And our guys have adjusted to it and you know, they haven't complained about it at all. But when we move into it, it'll be one of the best, at least on the group of 5 level. And then in addition to our football facility, we're also going to build a covered practice facility and a new weight room right beside it. And so all that is part of it. We've been showing pictures and talking about it, but now, you know, the structure is the outside frame is up and our guys see guys working on it every day. And, you know, I feel bad for our seniors. They don't get to use it, I guess, while they're playing. Obviously, I think you can always come back and use it, but it's a big piece of what we are selling with our future. It's a big piece of us being committed to being a Division I football program. And everybody around here, I know our players and our recruits are excited about it.
Yeah, it's going to be great for sure. So I have a question for you. You mentioned that you have a podcast with your daughter, Raquel. Hard Edge, shameless plug, guys, it will be back after football season is over.
Coming
Give
back.
The guy
That's
a break.
Right. Don't
He's doing a job right now.
Yeah, Hard Edge Football Podcast. Yeah, and actually we talked about doing it and got, and we get so busy, not only myself, but Raquel doing things that a lot of friends of ours that listen to it, because I always give updates what's going on, and have a lot of good guests, you know, call it Bob Stoops, a lot of coaching friends of mine have been on there. So we're gonna crank that back up when the season is over. Hopefully it's not until the end of December if we get a bowl bid. So we'll start that after the bowl bid if that comes up.
Yeah, so you named the podcast Hard Edge. I think a lot of people know what you mean by that, but for some of our listeners who may not know what the hard edge mentality is, can you explain that to us?
Yeah, you know, I don't have a lot of like slogans or catchy phrases around our building or that we talk to our team about. We only use two. One is hard edge, and that means just from a tough mentality, how hard you work, how hard you practice, you know, not being soft, not being lazy. And that's the standard we go every day, and that's unwavering. And that's kind of, I think our players really bought into that a year ago. You know, I think you always got to establish your culture as soon as you know, the new staff comes in. And then the second part is earn success. So the only things you'll ever see up around our building is hard edge and earn success. Because nowadays, you know, so many people look like they want something handed to them, given to them. We believe you got to earn it. And so those are the two things we talk about all the time. The hard edge part was something that we tell our players, that's the culture we're gonna live by each and every day, whether it's on the practice field or in a game. And I think it's kind of resonated with them. And certainly for us, you know, we coach our guys hard, you know, they embrace it. And I think it's helped us have some success.
Yeah. I mean, I love seeing it on social media, and it's you're right. It's great. I mean, you have to have those one-liners that the guys can really hold on to. I mean, I feel like every coach has to have them.
Yeah. You know, this in football, you know, to go on, it's a tough sport. I mean, it's not a sport that you do the rest of your life. You know, it's a tough sport to practice. You know, it's not like, you know, another golfer or something, or if you're basketball, want to shoot some hoops. In football, you know, when you got free time, you're not putting pads on and knocking the hell out of each other. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's a tough sport for tough people, and you're going to have adversity. You're going to get sore. You're going to get beat up. You know, there's moments where it's not going to be a whole lot of fun, but you got to overcome that. And we kind of take that to the same way as part of our teaching our guys. I said, that's what's going to happen in your life. I mean, you're going to have adversity throughout your life. You're going to have, you know, things that you're going to have to try to overcome. And, you know, we're trying to help our players understand that, hey, there's going to be, it's not all sunshine and rainbows and butterflies. No. You know, there's always going to be times where you're going to have to be tough mentally, and hopefully their experience in our program is going to help them get through that in the future as well.
Yeah, absolutely. We appreciate you for teaching those life lessons at this level. So I do have one question for you that I know some people are wondering that may not know the history behind this. So can you tell me a little bit about, you know, Pat McAfee is a Jacksonville State homer. He loves
that's
you guys.
Right. He better be. Yep, that's right.
But there is a reason, and I don't think a lot of people know the reason. Can you tell me about your relationship with Pat?
Yeah, Pat, I was at West Virginia. We recruited Pat, signed him as a kicker and a punter. He wound up playing both forces of West Virginia, been an all-conference, all-American, had a great pro career. And, you know, he's always, you know, what Pat does now, and he's made a living off doing, is being who he is. I mean, he's got a big personality. You know, I always told him I didn't want to check his curfew when he was playing because I was afraid of what I'd find out. So I said, but if you ever start punting poorly or kicking poorly, then you're in trouble. You better make sure. And he was just a great guy to coach. And then I'm so proud of him now because he's having a great career just being himself. And he's bet on himself. Everywhere he's been, he's bet on himself. And he's created this multi-million-dollar, you know, organization and brand. And so he calls me. We talk every week. And, you know, he's supposed to come down and see me. And, you know, I'm just really, really proud of him. And he's certainly a personality, but it's all real. That's who he is. And, you know, I was funny last week. Stanford Steve had on some of our gear. I think he had a Jack State gear on that we sent to him. So I said, hey, any of the kind of shameless plugs you could put in there for Jack State, I'm all in.
Yeah, seriously. I love it. I mean, we were playing on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. He couldn't make it down to a Tuesday-Wednesday game.
I know. He was scheduled to, and he was going to come and just kind of hang out, and I think he got pulled in another direction. So I'm going to stay on it. I'm going to stay on his butt about doing that. So it's he's got to get here in person. And our specialists, they all want to meet him. So I'm anxious to see him in person.
Yeah. I mean, listen, Pat, if you can't make it this year, we're on Tuesdays and Wednesdays again next year. You can put it in your schedule now. Well, just mark off the month of October.
Yeah, we got our own reality show, right? Conference USA Football midweek. It's either That's watch right. us or the Bachelor, right? So we're, That's right. you know, we're a better option. Come check us out.
Well, I want to talk about one of those weekday games, the one that I thought Pat was going to end up at. So you took it down to the wire against WKU. It was a highly contested match. The entire game ended on a 41-yard field goal from Alan Karadzic. Can you just tell me a little bit about what the emotion was like in the stadium, what the vibes were like in the locker room after that, on the field after the game? I mean, it was really fun to watch.
Yeah, and one of the most talented teams in the league, you know, the team we had a lot of respect for, and we didn't really particularly play well in the first half, but we kind of hung around. And it's kind of like our story all year is that, you know, our guys will just keep playing and then see if you have an opportunity to win at the end. And then when we had, and I had confidence in the kick, we tried to melt the clock down so we didn't give them any time to come back. And then he slipped, which I didn't even realize until after the highlights that he slipped on a kick and still made it. But it was a great atmosphere at home. And it was, our guys were really excited, not only because obviously the win, but because then we got such great respect for their program. And it's, and we've had quite a few of those. We had two or three or four that come down to the end. Even last week was the first close one that went down and then we didn't win. And that would have been nice. But at the same time, we just, you know, we kind of go through the thing to just play the next play. That's when, you know, that sounds like a third slogan, but basically what we've told the guys, you know, there's going to be good and bad moments, you know, right now in every game we play. Don't worry about the past, just play the next play and keep doing that. And at the end of 60 minutes, we'll look up. And if it has to be an overtime, we'll play a few more plays. But that's kind of the approach that we've taken during the games.
Yeah, we had a guy on last week who has been to every FBS stadium in the country, and he was at that game. And he said, man, like, if you play football in Alabama, they will come. It's just, you know, crazy, even if it's on a Tuesday night. And so tell me a little bit about, you're a small town guy. Tell me about Jacksonville, Alabama, how they've embraced you, how they've embraced this move up to Conference USA. Just tell me a little bit about the town.
Yeah, it's been great. You know, it's like funny when I first took the job that I had some buddies of mine said, hey, boy, I can't wait to come see you. They got a great beach. And I'm like, no, bro, that's the wrong Jacksonville.
Wrong Jacksonville, yes.
No beach here. It's a little small town in Jacksonville, Alabama, in the mountains. And I think it might be the smallest town that has Division I football in it. But our campus, our school is growing. I think we're over 10,000 students now. It keeps going up and up, and I'm sure it's going to go up even more with all of our midweek games that we had. But, you know, football is important. As you said, it's important in the South. It's important in the state of Alabama. They've always had success here when they went Division II to 1AA. You know, so they're used to having success. And football is, you know, you always want to be where football is important. But it's not – I tell our recruits that we're soon – if you're looking for big city nightlife and all, that ain't us. You know, the good part is we have – traffic. We only got three stoplights, and I think one of them don't work. And it's but we've got all the fast food restaurants. There's good people. It's the school goes. They say it's the friendliest campus in the South. It is. It's, you know, it's really friendly and it's safe and clean. And, you know, I love it. You know, and they've embraced us. I say us, my staff and I, since the day we got here. You know, I have my house is a mile from campus, so I'm right there. So it's been our players really enjoy it. And I think it's, you know, there's also, they can feel the support from the students. You know, we have a great marching band, the Marching Southerners are over 500 some members. And, you know, they've even been to a couple away games. They're tremendous. Our student section is great. And all this is new. I mean, even though you play, moving up to this is a whole new level, and they're seeing that, and we're embracing that as we go forward.
Yeah, that's awesome. So you mentioned, we're going to move into a new segment that we like to call CUSA Eats. So when I visit a new place, I like to know where to eat in town. And since Jacksonville State is new to the conference, I definitely don't know where to go in Jacksonville. So you said there were some fast food restaurants, but it being a small southern town, I know that there is a good hometown, homey restaurant somewhere around there. So can you tell me about a restaurant that you would take me to if I was visiting Jacksonville?
Yeah, there's right by the stadium. There's a place called Strutt's. That's got great, you know, it's all American food and great wings. Everything you want to get there. Then a place on the other end of campus called Afina's. which you can get all the pasta stuff, even a great steak. And then the nice part about it is you don't have to make reservations. You'll be plenty of seats that are available.
That is nice.
You know, you can go. I mean, they're always available, open. You can get carryouts, and it's, you know, like I said, nobody goes hungry. And that was the fun thing. It's funny, it's on a different subject. When I got the job, you knew our budget, you know, we were building new things, and it took going to take a while for our budget to get where it needed to be. But I said, I don't want to have to say no. Don't say no to me on two things. And they said, what is it? I said, food and gear, you know, t-shirts, hats, you know, food, feeding our guys. I said, you know, whatever we got to do, we got to make sure we can feed them and outfit them the best we can. And they've done that. So our guys are like, you know, sometimes in this day and age, you know, players are looking to get paid this and that and up. And, you know, I'm sure everybody, I don't blame them for wanting the money, but if you give them some gear along the way, it can go a long way to help make sure, not only keep them happy, make they look good. You know, they represent our program, and they got Jack State football around. And then I feed them good too. Our guys are not going hungry. You know, we're going to make sure they eat whatever it is, whether we're giving them Chick-fil-A or Bojangles or whatever the food is extra, we're going to feed our guys.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen your offensive line. You are feeding them well.
Yeah.
Large.
And my coaches, too. Have you seen my coaches?
Yeah. No, you know, I haven't. I'll have to pay attention to that, though.
They're eating well, too.
Yeah, I mean, food, shelter, and clothing. You can't go wrong.
That's it. That's right. You know, it's like I said, it's the same thing I tell the parents. You know, if your parents are sending your kids off to college, if they've got a nice roof over their head and they're eating well, then the rest of it will take care of it, you know. But like I said, shelter, food, warmth. You know, you do all that, you know, the basics, you start from there.
Well, I myself am looking forward to getting to Jacksonville, Alabama at some point here soon in the future. But for today, we'll have to do with the suggestions from Coach Rich Rod here. We'll have to take his word for it. Well, Coach, thank you so much for joining me today. We really appreciate it. We too are watching that bowl eligibility counter. We are watching it very closely. We are cheering you guys on, that is for sure. But you can catch the Gamecocks this Saturday on ESPN Plus at home versus Louisiana Tech at 1 p.m. Central. Don't forget to follow us on social at CUSA Insider Pod and subscribe to CUSA Insider on Apple and Spotify so you never miss an episode. Coach, anything you want to say to your fans real quick before we jump off?
Yeah, I appreciate their support. I appreciate everybody's riding along with us on the journey. We're honored to be part of Conference USA. We think the conference has a great future. We're excited about the conference future and even more excited about Jack State's future.
Well, we will end on that shameless plug. All right, guys, you're listening to CUSA Insider, the official podcast of Conference USA. I'm your host, Sarah Rudolph, signing off.